Welcome to Marilyn Solutions with Reverend Marilyn, the speaker for the new millennium. Join Marilyn as she talks with guests offering a wide range of talents and information. And now, here's Marilyn.
Welcome to Marilyn Solutions. We're so glad you're here on this beautiful sunny day. It is just gorgeous out there, but we'll let you take this hour out to hear what's going on. We have Kim Miller with us in the studio today. She's a local medium, and she's ready to have you call in and help you talk to those that have, that your loved ones that have passed over. I've been just visiting with her before we went on the air. I'm very impressed. I think you will be too, and we'll be talking with her in just a minute. So if you are wanting to call in and have your questions answered or to communicate with somebody, I've talked with several people in the last few weeks, and they'll say, oh, I was listening, but I was afraid to call in. Now's your chance. You don't have to be afraid. Nobody knows who you are on the air. Only you. Give us a call. You don't have to share your name if you felt that embarrassed. Just give us a call and get your answers resolved, because that's what this is about today, is helping to resolve those problems or things that are bothering us or plaguing us or haven't come to complete harmony in our lives. And this is one way to do that. We do have chances after people have died to resolve issues, and that's the beauty of this, I have found. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. Pierce County, pick up that phone today, 253-584-1480. And in King County, toll-free, 253-804-5765. 253-804-5765. Be sure you listen to the people that are sponsoring this show between our communicating and talking with Kim today. Let them know that you heard them on the air. They're going to be pleased you do. They're out there wanting to be of service to you. Let them know that you are willing and able to go and seek out their services and that you're glad they're there. And today I want to now introduce you to Kim Miller, who I am glad has driven over to see us today. She's originally from Bellingham, Washington, right here in our state, and has attended Washington State University. She spent quite a few years in law enforcement. It's really interesting. She was involved with crime scene processing, and she worked a lot with homicides, suicides, burglaries, and fingerprinting people. And this is her first full month of being a full-time medium, and that is a big step in faith, she was saying. I would agree that to do that, leave a job such as the police area of law enforcement and come and do this kind of work is really intriguing, interesting, and we're going to want to find out more about her background. So, Kim, we're glad you're here.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here, too.
Yeah, talk about it. And maybe you could tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I never knew that I was going to be doing this kind of thing before. I was involved in law enforcement, and I thought that that was my life dream. And I never thought that this was come about, but I'd always had an intuitive nature and seemed to use it in law enforcement also. So, but it was a big decision on how to start doing this. But my background is basically mostly in law enforcement, and so I haven't had a whole lot of training in this.
Well, apparently it comes very naturally to you.
Pretty much so. It always has. I always knew when I was in trouble when I was a little kid. I'd have to tell my friends, hey, I got to go home because I'm in trouble. So, and I always knew when things were going to happen, but I kind of stuffed it aside, decided that maybe if I didn't want to know all the bad things, I didn't want to know anything at all. So I kind of told them to leave me alone for a while.
Oh, I can understand that. How long have you been doing mediumship?
Actually, I've only been kind of doing this now for about just almost 3 years. It happened real shortly after my mom died, and I had a real need to connect with my mom. And I decided to pick up some books and read them. One of the books I read was Sylvia Brown. Mm-hmm. And realized that maybe I could do some automatic writing. And was able to sit down and got connected. This minute I picked up a pen, it started moving. And I was able to connect with an angel. And his name is Samuel. And he's been with me constantly. And also I have a great connection with God. And have kept connecting with them and connecting with them and wrote and wrote and wrote and finally decided I wanted to talk to my mom. And when her handwriting came through, I thought, well, that's interesting because I could never write like her. And I thought, well, am I kind of crazy?
No, you're not crazy.
Well, I had to prove it to myself. So I started asking to maybe talk to some other people's others, mm-hmm. and they started coming through. And it just, I seemed like I read everybody, all my friends, all my family, and all their people kept coming through, and I thought, well, maybe this is what I'm supposed to do.
Well, I think that's interesting. Mine started coming to me through dreams. My aunt had committed suicide, and it was the only person I was strongly attached to in my family, and had this huge desire because of what churches preach.
Right, exactly.
To try to make sure she would be okay.
Right.
And I was very, very concerned about that. And in fact, when I contact people, so not always, but often they are in the mode of being in their 30s or 40s.
Mm-hmm,
and she
exactly.
knew I would not recognize her the way she was when she was younger. So she had my uncle come mm-hmm. in the dream and lead me to her. And that was an amazing thing because as soon as I saw him, I didn't know what was going on. But then he led me to her. And even though she looked different, I knew immediately that
right.
it was her.
Right.
And when my mother died, it was not a dream. She appeared to me through some meditation. And after experiencing this a couple times, I started to automatically things just started coming mm-hmm. in. But it was kind of like I had to prime the pump to make sure that that was what was going on.
Right. I haven't exactly ever had to. It just seems to come through. In fact, it would be kind of disturbing for me because I'd be trying to write a police report and I'd have somebody else trying to do the writing for me. So sometimes I had to use a lot of whiteout to
oh my.
To get the actual name of the person in there and not somebody who was trying to talk to me. So
why did you quit law enforcement to become a medium full time?
Well, I really wanted to be able to help people, and I knew I was just being led by God to be able to help people to get over the grief and to go on and have some last final connection with the people that they had lost. And in law enforcement, it's kind of an unusual situation. Even though you can use intuitiveness in law enforcement, it isn't well accepted. And I just felt a sort of a struggle within myself of should I stay with what I thought was my dream or actually use that part of my life to do my real dream. And that's what I've decided to do.
I think you're very brave. It takes a lot of courage to take that step.
It takes a big leap of faith, and I keep hoping that they're going to provide.
Well, Kim, my experience is they provide very well when I'm open to it. And it sometimes comes from places I don't expect. I'm very surprised sometimes how it comes to me. I actually got more back from the IRS this year than I thought I was getting back, and it was because they found some things that I had not accurately figured. Math was wrong. And so, wonderful surprise.
It's nice when your math mistakes are for you, isn't it?
Yeah. I had one in my checking account that was for me recently, too, so they are coming through, Kim. They do in strange ways sometimes.
Yeah.
So you were talking about using your intuition in law enforcement. Was there any particular situation that came up that was really helpful to you?
I've had a couple situations. Usually I was able to find stolen vehicles.
Oh.
So for some reason I was able to key in on, that looks kind of funny, and I could find a lot of stolen vehicles. I, at one point, led to the department in finding unoccupied stolen vehicles. So that would help me out a lot. I tried to block them out, though, when I processed scenes because it was too disturbing for me to be able to contact them and not be able to do anything with the information. So I kind of blocked that information out, or they seemed to block that for me. But I did have a friend of mine who worked for a prosecutor in California who actually called me and got some information on a case down there.
Wow.
That they were able to use. So
that's terrific. So did you ever tell them that where you were getting this information, that you were so productive in getting stolen cars?
They actually, oh, no.
You would spook them out, I'm sure.
Well, it's kind of funny. I think I read for about half the people at the department, and they were very, for people who don't keep a good secret, they kept the secret really, really well.
Oh.
So I was doing a lot of reading and connecting. One lady who I love dearly at the department had lost her mom, her dad, and her husband in the same year.
Oh, my.
And I was grieving terribly, and it took me almost a year to work up the nerve to go to her and say, your husband's bothering me. He really wants to talk to you. And she was very open, and I hope that it helped.
Oh, I'm sure it did. I have found that it does, and we're going to swap some stories here hopefully today.
Great.
And don't forget to call in and get your questions and your reading. This is your chance. If you have been a little concerned or shy about doing this. Some people are. This is your chance not to be shy today. Kim is just really helpful. Would you believe being a medium would be valuable in law enforcement if they were more open to it?
Oh, I would think in all types of cases it would be very valuable for them, finding lost people, getting leads on, you know, even the Chandra Levy case.
I wondered about that one. I had indications from that one.
Yeah, I did also. I kind of from the beginning knew that she was gone.
I knew that immediately.
Yeah. So, but I think it would be very helpful, but they still have a lot of, it's being stuck in reality, and I know that reality, and it's really hard not to think that people are crazy. So.
Well, we had a person on here it's close to the beginning of when our show went on the air, who is a crime journalist. Mm-hmm. And he just recently had an article, Sidney Kirkpatrick was on our show, and he just recently published an article in the L.A. Times magazine about Peter Hurkos really did identify the real Boston Strangler, but the police, through all the political parts of what was going on, tagged it to this Albert DeSalvo, who really was not the Boston Strangler.
He wanted the credit for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, his 15 minutes of fame.
Right, and that was pretty much what it was about. But he did know the Strangler, and that's how he got the information. Mm-hmm. There was a period of time where they were able to meet in mental hospital.
Right.
They were both in there at the same time.
Well, I think there's a lot of people now that have brought this to the forefront, and it doesn't seem so scary or so weird for people. You know, people like John Edward and Sylvia Brown and James Van Praagh.
He was on last night.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think, and John Anderson, too. So
we're going to stop here and let everybody know the phone numbers. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. Do give us a call. King County, 253-804-5765. Now's your chance to get your reading. Stay tuned and find out when people call in what they do want to hear about from their loved ones and find out all these interesting stories she has to share about doing it. So we'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Maryland Solutions. We are just having a rousing talk here with Kim Miller, our local medium, and she's in the area and does readings, and we'll talk about where she is in just a few minutes. But we want to find out more about her being a medium and what was her motivation and why did she do this?
My biggest motivation was the grief that I suffered when I lost my mother. My mom was pretty much my best friend. And not being able to contact her or talk to her every other day, as I had done for 39 years, I guess, that I really knew that there were other people out there that don't get a chance to grieve for their parents. It's kind of one of the things, it's an unwritten rule that you get 3 days to grieve for your family.
Isn't that ridiculous?
It is. I mean, you can lose a child or somebody like that or a spouse, and people really... You know, they really grieve for you, but if you lose your parents, it's different because you're supposed to lose your parents. And they give you a couple days, and life goes on. The world goes on. And I think that's the hardest thing when you lose somebody is that the world continues to go on, and you don't.
Right. Well, I had a really interesting experience when I was getting my past life regression training in Virginia. And through experience, they found out I could do this. And so I suggested if someone was interested to contact me, and this retired minister came up to me and wanted to spend some time and contact somebody. Well, it turned out it was the person that had been standing next to him in the room. I mean, the person was deceased, but the room was full of angels and entities. It was the most full room that I'd ever seen at that point. And so he wanted to talk to this man, and we did. And I said, "Don't you want to talk with your father?" And he gave me this really strange look, very, very angry look. Mm-hmm. And he said, "No, you know." Mm-hmm. And I said, this is your chance if you'd like to do that.
Right.
And lo and behold, his father appeared to me dressed in black and had a black blanket on his head and said, "I do not want to talk with my son."
Wow.
And so here's the
thing. That's kind of unusual.
Animosity on both sides.
Right.
You know, and I thought, what do I do with this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, fortunately, it was taken out of my hands because I don't know exactly how God had this happen, but they started communicating to me and through me, and gradually the animosity and the anger started to subside,
mm-hmm.
and it started to come down into a low roar, so to speak, and the father took off the black blanket, and the son started to cry, and what they had come to understand is there had been a big disagreement
mm-hmm.
through faulty information.
Right.
And this argument had proceeded for quite a few years and had never been resolved.
And the son felt incredibly guilty about it.
Exactly.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I cannot describe it anymore, but this perfect piece
mm-hmm.
clicked in, like the piece of the puzzle was mm-hmm. finally put together. It was an incredible healing in the universe is how it felt to me.
Right.
And that they came into harmony with each other, and the son, who was in his 70s, was just literally crying, sobbing that this harmony and coming into agreement with his father had finally occurred.
Right.
It was just a really wonderful, just to be there and see this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just something that happened in a way beyond me. I really don't know how it came together so well.
Right.
I don't think I did it myself, that's for sure. I think that's how it works, is that we just let these things happen.
Most of the people who I've actually talked to, that seems to be the thing, as they want an answer. Sometimes I've had a woman who came in who said, my father committed suicide, and I think that he did this to me. And I really had her to say, this isn't, when somebody commits suicide like that, a lot of times there's two reasons why they usually do it. Is one reason is it's all about them.
Exactly.
And they're not even thinking of you. You have nothing to do with it. If they were thinking of you, they wouldn't commit suicide.
Exactly.
The second thing would be revenge. And that I've seen people do that out of revenge. But that's pretty low on the totem pole there. It's usually they're not thinking of anybody but themselves. And it was a real cleansing experience for her.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the people that I've talked to, their family comes across in love, even if they haven't had the best experience together. They really either want to apologize or they want to make amends. But it was disturbing for me at first because everybody it seemed to talk to cried. And I thought, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this because I hate to see people cry. It makes me want to cry myself.
Oh, I've had that experience too.
Now I just carry a big box of Kleenex.
I think that's smart. Good advice. And I also know that crying is cleansing, though.
Oh, absolutely.
And this one mother who wanted to contact her child so desperately because of a car accident,
mm-hmm.
and she just literally sobbed, you know, away. And I wish I'd had that Kleenex you mentioned, because she was just really, really feeling so relieved
right.
about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
It was just more than she could. I mean, she was just very, very distraught, but it was a joyous, joyous experience and not the negative.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have wanted to know, a lot of people would say, well, where do you get your information? Kim, how do you describe it?
How do you know that? How do you get that? I guess I'm not clairvoyant like you are.
Oh.
And I don't necessarily see them. I can see a little bit of an aura. Most of it for me is just a fuzziness
mm-hmm.
around you. I can sense what the color is.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I see it if you were all to close your eyes or even open your eyes and imagine what your kitchen looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I get. I get sort of a mental picture of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not a picture right in front of my eyes, but a picture within my head
mm-hmm.
of what it is. And I get a thought. And it took me a long time to realize that. That's why I talk to myself over the years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got accused of talking to myself quite often, and it must have been for me to differentiate the thought that they were giving me with the thought that I was getting. So,
well, that's an interesting way to explain it. I get a variety of information from different sources, and it's not always visual. It can be auditory mm-hmm. messages, and it can be even just feeling of sensing
mm-hmm.
something. Or sometimes I have smells.
Oh, I get smells all the time, especially stinky dogs.
Oh,
oh, bad stinky dogs. Yeah, I had one woman, I said, who's the dog with the stinky ears? And she cracked up. She hadn't even thought of her dog and the dog that they were raised with in a long, long time. She, oh, that's whoever he was. And I said, well, he stinks.
Oh, that's a good one. What was your best experience as a medium?
I've had quite a few really good ones. Probably my best one is a good friend of mine. I hadn't been in contact with her for quite a few years when I first started doing this. And I was able to get in contact with her because her mother had died only a week after my mother had died. And was able to explain to her that her mother had wanted me to let her know that she had a bracelet that she wanted her to find. And explained to her it was in a box in a certain spot. And she actually took her a little while, but she went over and looked for it and found the bracelet in the box. And it was, I was even surprised. So that's probably one of my better experiences.
That's terrific. Yeah, that's, you know, we all need to know that these things are available to people that are open-minded, that are really searching for answers. There's all kinds of answers in this case.
Right. And it's all about you, too, because if you're not open to it, then I get it's a cell phone. I get sound coming through. It seems like the message comes through you for me. And I've really come down to realize it's about a door. Mm-hmm. And we all have a door. And we either have it bolted shut between us and the other side, or we have just a peephole that we look through, or we might, you know, unbolt it and look through the chain, or we might open it and then slam it shut. I kind of think that I have one of those mats you step on, like the grocery store, and it opens up, and I can lock it at night, too, if I want to. A lot of people then have a door that is just ajar, and everything under the sun can come through, and they can't differentiate. And a lot of times that is what's called schizophrenia.
I am beginning to excuse me just a minute. I'm beginning to better understand that a lot of mental illness is not really mental illness.
Mm-hmm,
and
exactly.
My mother being paranoid schizoid, I've come into some huge understandings. She's no longer with us. But in trying to understand her, I have found that she had a terrifically strong sense of spirituality.
She had a lot of voices talking to her, is what I've gotten from your mother, is that she had things that told her to do things, and they weren't always necessarily the right thing to do. And her door was so ajar that she wasn't able to close it. And so things that she did often were not explained by anything rational. And it seemed like her actions, when necessarily they were sort of guided by lesser beings. I just don't think that there's anything that we create that is created other than what we create that's evil.
Mm-hmm.
We create our own hell, basically.
Well, she had been in many, I finally got brave enough to talk with her one day about her childhood and her growing up, and she really did live in a prison of fear.
Yeah,
she and did. That was the safest place for her to stay in that. And I know today I had to make a similar choice, and I chose not to stay in bipolar.
Right.
But I have also known that sometimes that's the best place that a person can be.
It's a good way to escape.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of times it's just the best escape.
Some people have had severe childhoods that cannot really, really look at it through more realistic eyes.
Exactly.
And it's sad.
It is sad. But it's a realization that these people aren't just lost, you know, souls that I've been able to teach, especially with people that have called in to the police department. I've had ladies that said, there's people coming in through my house and they're disappearing in my bathroom. And I said, well, you can shut that door. Well, no, they come through the door. I said, well, how about you shut the door in your head?
Exactly.
Oh. And I think it seems to help now.
Well, I wish the medical community could look into being more open-minded in this area, because having it in my family and having to live with it how devastating it can be to the people around. And it doesn't have to be. It can really be looked at from a whole different point of view.
Exactly. And it's being in a safe spot.
Yeah.
If you're gonna open yourself up, you really must be in a safe spot.
Right. We want to encourage our listeners to call in with your stories. You might have a better one than we have today. Or you might be interested in something Kim has to share, like what she just did with me and my mother, because I've had a lot of soul-searching about that situation, and I appreciate her help. Pierce County, 253-584-1480. King County, 253-804-5765. I want to remind you, you too can get your message or business out to the listening audience for a very reasonable amount. Call me at 253-845-4907 and have your message on the air 8 times a week. We will have it on the program and other times for other listeners. So give us a call and don't go away. Stay tuned for some more interesting stories. Be back in a minute. Solutions with Marilyn. We're having a really terrific time here with Kim Miller from The Healing Tree. You just heard their commercial on the air. And that's where she is so that you can go and talk with her anytime that you have that need. And we're glad you're back with us right now. And that book that I've been talking about, Wilderness Spirituality, that Rodney Romney, I always, for whatever reason, trip over his name rather poorly. Reverend Rodney Romney was here several weeks ago and left us several copies of Wilderness Spirituality, Finding Your Way in an Unsettled World. It's a marvelous book on spirituality, and if you are on that path, spiritual path, and looking for exercises, information, wisdom, this is really written from the heart. And I found it to be better than a lot of books on the bestseller list, because this isn't written for money. This was written because it was inspired. And so, therefore, if you want to help by purchasing a book for $25, he donated them to support the program to keep it on the air, like you can do also by buying the book or just donating to help continue this program. We would appreciate it. You can contact me to get your copy, 253-845-4907, or email me at Marilyn@angelicasgifts.com. And when you contribute to this program, you can also suggest a topic or guest that you want to hear on the air. This is your opportunity also. I want people to remember, if you wish to reach me for spiritual counseling classes, I'll be doing a lot of teaching for Pierce College this fall, a reading for you or your party, past life regression, or to talk to someone passed over, call me at 253-845-4907 or email me at Marilyn@angelicasgifts.com. If you're interested in a picture of your angel or to draw a portrait of your guardian angel, you can order your pictures by calling me also and getting me on the email either way. And they are also sold at Crystal Voyage in Tacoma at Freight House Square, so you can pick up inspirational plaques I have put together, painted, and inspirational poems that go with them, or other items I have there of art that you can pick up and enjoy in your home or for gifts. They make terrific gifts. Now we want to get back with Kim because she has so much to share with us today. What is your funniest story, Kim?
I've had quite a few, but probably one of the ones that get me are when I feel like I'm a phone booth sometimes, that that no matter where I'm at, they say, hey, there's someone I can talk to. And I was standing in Starbucks one day and trying to get in the line, and there's a guy in front of me, and all of a sudden in my head I get, Bob's here. And I thought, oh, yeah, but who's Bob? Bob's here. Bob's here. And I realized that it was the guy in front of me, and I said, I'm not about to tell him that Bob's here and have some guy think I'm crazy in the middle of the Starbucks. So I get a lot of those where they come through. And the just a lot of stinky animals and funny, the things that people do and how they describe things to me is kind of interesting. They pick things that I realize. I had a woman that her dad, I could kind of see what he looked like, and I said, he's got some funny suspenders, you know, like Mork from Ork, you know, the rainbow suspenders. Mm-hmm. So a lot of weird ones have come through like that.
Oh, that's interesting. I had a really interesting experience. I was down at the Tokelan Hotel in Washington on the coast. And now this hotel was the first hotel in the state of Washington. Mm-hmm. And it's haunted. And it's been in the newspapers and on television about people that are Charlie down there in the kitchen.
Right.
And so I was staying there for the weekend, and so it turned out that the room we were assigned was the room that was also haunted. Mm-hmm. And nothing happened that night. Well, this is such an old hotel. It's not like modern motels where you have the restroom in your room. And you have to go down up and down the hall. And I started talking to Henry, who was in the hall. And I said, well, Henry, nothing happened last night. And he says, well, I moved out because I knew you were coming. And so you could have a good night's rest. Well, I said, thank you. You know, I thought that was terrific. So every time I went up and down the hall, we had our little conversations. Well, I came back to my home on Sunday evening and didn't think anything more about Henry. I enjoyed visiting with him, the little chats we had. And the next day I went to a meeting up by my home. Mm-hmm. And this lady at the meeting I'd never seen before, and she had come from Tokelan to come to this meeting. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, I was just down there this weekend, and we talked. And she says, yeah, I live right next door to the hotel, and my son works there, and I go over for coffee and visit with him. And she had come up to this meeting, and that's where she was from. And I came home, walked in the door of my house, and I said, what's going on? And Henry said, I knew, how he knew, maybe you can help me with this, how he knew she was coming to be where I would be the next day, just, that's beyond me at this point.
Uh-huh.
But he had attached to her.
Right.
When she was over there, attached to her, came with her to the meeting, came home with me, and said, I need you to send me over to the other side, right, because it was right after 9/11,
mm-hmm,
and he was being called to go help put order in the, usually it's when people pass and go over, it's quite orderly, but because it was such a huge and humongous experience, mm-hmm, of so many souls leaving at once,
they actually needed to go over there. A lot of times they hang,
they needed help,
there.
So he stayed with me for a couple of days, and I visited with him, and he really had to get on his way.
Right.
But so I sent him on his way to the light. But it was really kind of interesting because I did not know that they would come find you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. In fact, your other people, you know, your family hangs with you a lot. I know my mother's always around and leads other people to me. I had a woman come in. I know whenever my mother's around, there's a penny.
Oh.
And you'll find pennies that drop out of, pennies from heaven, I think, is where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a woman come to me just the other day, and we got talking because her son had actually just, he was only 22, and he dropped dead from a heart attack, or he actually had a bad heart. And finally, at the very end, she said, so what's up with the pennies?
Oh.
And I had to laugh because I said, well, that was obviously my mother leading you to me.
Oh.
And so, if you find a penny, I guess maybe you might want to come talk to me.
Oh, that's really interesting. Well, you have some wonderful stories to tell. Is there one that you felt the most comfortable with, or that you were the most impressed with what happened?
Actually, there was a lady that had come to see me. She actually had come into the healing tree just to check it out, and they have a tendency to brag me up there real, real good.
They do.
They do. And actually, she said, well, I'd like to sit and talk with you. And so she's a young African-American woman, and her mother came through right away for me, and she took me back to the 60s, the civil rights movement, and I felt like I was standing in the middle of a group of people listening to Martin Luther King speak.
Wow.
And it was the most incredible experience I've ever had in my life. I could hear the sound of the microphone, and you know, every one of us has heard the speech, but I heard the man preach, and he was incredible.
Wow.
Incredible. To be there in the middle of it, I still get a chill thinking about it. Of listening to him and the love that was around him and how he made an incredible movement with love. And that, I won't ever forget that because it was probably the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
That's amazing. That really is amazing. I had a very fascinating experience. I was on Easter Island.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know that, there's a vortex down there where it's thinner atmosphere. And so there's...
Right.
The vibrations are much stronger.
Mm-hmm. The in-between is not as thick.
Right.
Right, right.
It was a very powerful place to be. It was similar to that in Cairo,
mm-hmm,
where the pyramids, and I have some interesting experiences from that. But in this case, the lady didn't know I was told, you know, shared about these kinds of things about people. And but she was psychic herself, and we were at this one location on the island where there was a center rock and lots of rocks around in a circle. And she says, you go sit in the center and read for all these people. And I'd never told her about it.
Uh-huh.
And I did. I sat there and we sat in this gorgeous sunlight. And the power that was in that spot was, mm-hmm, very profound.
Right.
Very profound. And there were about 10 of us or 11 of us in the group. And each one had a rock. And I went around the circle and shared this information. And Frank Lloyd Wright came through to his student that, mm-hmm, was with us in the group, and someone dying came through to a person, and he says, how did you know about this? You know, and I told him what he needed to hear and so forth from what the person had to share with him. In this case, the person hadn't died yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, that happens a lot because a lot of times people don't realize that the body will die. The body dies separately. We leave the body way before it dies.
Exactly.
It's just a shell. And people are worried about, you know, the gasping and they think they're in pain and they're not. They've left the body. So it's just a shell. So I'll get that. I've had a woman actually that I worked with that said, you know, I haven't had any contact with my mother. I don't even know where she is. And I said, well, is she on the other side? And she said, I don't know. And I said, well, I think she might be on the other side, but I'm not sure. She said, well, I don't know. And the next day she came back and she said, my mother died the next morning.
See?
Yeah. So I sometimes they are kind of in that in-between stage.
And apparently that's where this fellow was.
Mm-hmm.
And he was needing the support of
right.
the man that was
right.
in our group. And that's what he was requesting.
Exactly.
And this man was very awestruck because he had kind of written this fellow off because things had gone amiss between them.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he would go back and contact him. And that's what I think the beauty of this is, that we can inform people of things that we might not otherwise, they might not know about.
Oh, I've had people that I've spoken with, and a lot of times it'll be young kids mm-hmm. that they were friends with when they were children. And the kid was an outsider or kind of a... I don't know, what a geek or something, and they want to say to you that you were nice to me when no one else was nice to me. And I've had to lead people back, well, you remember what this looked like, and you guys did this, and you played Hot Wheels or whatever, and they'll say, I remember that person. And I'll say, well, they passed away, and they'd really like to come and say thank you to you. So it's sometimes not exactly who you want to talk to, but who wants to talk to you.
Exactly. I had a lady come to me, and she was very concerned about her mother. Her mother had been kind of an uptight lady all her life
mm-hmm.
and very rigid in a lot of ways and demanding.
Right.
And not very relaxed about living.
Mm-hmm.
And so the daughter was very concerned about when she passed away, you know, how she was doing, because her mother had not really been open to a lot of these kinds of things.
It's amazing how they open up once they get on the other side.
That's what happened to her mother.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there telling her about her mother's having a ball.
Mm-hmm.
She's just really soaking up all these different schools and
right.
these different planes of consciousness and
mm-hmm.
just enjoying the heck out of it
mm-hmm.
and just has just bubbled up and come into really mm-hmm. enjoying the whole thing, and had this total personality change, and she went home feeling so much relieved that mm-hmm. her mother was rather out of this stingy little small box that she'd put herself in on Earth.
Right, right. That happens quite often. You'll get people who they'll struggle, they won't even want to go, and they'll wait until the very last door when someone has to boot them out it because they're so afraid of going over there. And once they get there, they're just super excited.
Right, and we want to find out more things about what goes on, so don't turn your dial, stay tuned, and we still have open lines for all those of you that still want to call but haven't. We have an open line just for you, Pierce County, 253-584-1480, King County, 253-804-5765. Don't go away, we'll be right back. This is Marilyn Solutions, and we're so glad you're here today. We want you to know that you can call in, and we do have a caller in just a moment. But first, we want you to know that next week, Dr. Cherie Moore will be returning, and she's going to be talking about relationships. Everybody has a relationship problem. Now's your chance. And she has a wonderful book called The True Beauty from Within. And the following week, Robert Smith will be here. He's written an interesting book called Misdiagnosed. His wife had a misdiagnosis by the traditional medical programs that we have in traditionally in our society today, and they were not open-minded to other alternative ways to help her. And there was a lot of confusion and misunderstanding involved with that, and her death did occur because of the lack. He calls it the medical Cold War. So he also has edited Edgar Casey, My Life as a Seer, which we'll talk about. So don't forget to tune in next week, and now we will go to our caller. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am.
We're so glad you called in. Do you want to share your first name?
My name is Selby.
Selby?
Selby.
Selby. We're glad you called, Selby. Do you have a question for Kim, or do you want her to do a little reading for you?
Sure, I'd love that.
Hi, what can I do for you? It's Selby, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Go ahead. What do you have somebody that you wanted to connect with?
There's a friend of mine
uh-huh.
that I would like to connect with.
Okay, did this person have some, did they... I don't know. Sometimes I get that there's a suicide, but it might be that they were just contributed to their death. Is that I kind of get a real lot of pain surrounding it.
There was a lot of pain.
Okay. All right. Is it a male person?
Yes.
Okay. Was it a boyfriend or?
No, friend.
Not just a good friend. Okay. Kind of like a brother, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. You guys were really, 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 really close.
Yes.
Were you a lot younger, though, a little bit when you, I mean, you've known each other for a long time, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, was it like a car accident or something? I'm getting kind of, it's kind of a weird situation around it. It's sudden, though, huh?
Very sudden.
Very sudden, okay. Yeah, sometimes they won't tell me exactly how it happens, especially if it's gory or something. They kind of keep me out of that.
Uh-huh.
But he says that you feel a little guilty about it?
I feel guilty?
Yeah, did you not get to say goodbye?
I didn't get to say goodbye.
You didn't get to say goodbye. And it was, did you guys have sort of a little falling out or something beforehand?
There might have been, yes.
Yeah, okay, that's kind of what it sounded like. He wants to say sorry because he said it was his fault.
Okay.
Okay, and he said that you didn't, whatever you said, he knew wasn't true. Does that make sense?
It does.
Okay, good. I'm glad it makes sense to you. It didn't make sense to me. But anyway, he says that he wants you to let go of that and to know that he knew the truth. He knew the truth before he died.
Okay.
Okay. And that he loved you very, very much.
Yeah, that's what I'm picking up, too.
Yeah, he loves you very, very much. In fact, he has an incredible amount of sadness because you grieved pretty bad for this, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he says it's time to let go of it. And he said it had nothing to do with you. You couldn't have prevented it in any way whatsoever. Did you try to stop him from going someplace?
Possibly, yes.
Okay. All right. And he didn't listen to you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was he drinking?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that you're aware of. Okay. Okay. No, there's nothing you could have done to have stopped this. And you kind of have been kicking yourself for a while, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't do that anymore, okay? Because he said it's okay. And he was kind of bullheaded anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He would have done whatever he wanted to do. And he probably would have done it anyway if you had told him not to. Does that sound like him?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, it also was his time.
Yeah, he picked that time.
Yeah.
Definitely. He had a lot
That's
of
That's why you can't feel guilty about it, because it was going to happen this way if you were involved with it or not.
Yeah.
The situation would have terminated the same way.
Exactly. And it was his choice. He made that choice. He had, you know, several different outs. In fact, he was kind of a reckless kind of guy, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, he could have had this out a while before that. He's the kind of guy that would have gone scuba diving with, 100 miles down. Even if someone told him it wasn't good to do that.
Right.
If you told him it wasn't good, then he was going to do it anyway. He was kind of like that, seems like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he says he loves you very much, and he says that he loved your family. And do you have a brother?
Yes.
Okay. Was he close to your brother, too?
Yes.
Okay. Tell him he says hi.
Okay.
Okay. Because he says that he's still a jerk. That's what he says. I don't know what that means. All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Well, we're glad that we had a caller today. You can do that, too. Kim, what is your advice to people who go to psychics and mediums?
Well, I'm probably the biggest skeptic that ever lived. I don't like to go to psychics, and I'm really weary of what I get told, just because a lot of times it seems pretty vague. And I know I get a lot of messages that I don't understand, but I can't tell you how many times I've been told, the money is coming right around the corner for you. And you know what? If it does, that would be the biggest surprise for me, because I just don't. That's not what my life is about. And I think that I would just want to know specifics from people, and just to see what their motivation is behind it, because I know without God and without having a real sense of my spiritual self, that this is a gift that I was given, and I couldn't do it without a divine guidance. And those who do it just for the almighty buck, you can't serve God and money too.
Exactly. I feel I'm just a channel.
Exactly. Me too. I'm a telephone booth.
Yeah, right. And what comes through isn't always something that I have anything to do. It doesn't have anything to do with me. It's
no.
Just, I'm just relaying it.
Right. And as soon as you start thinking you're the biggest special thing on earth, And those are the ones that make me kind of, I think they're kind of funny. The, you know, the funny names and the, you know, I start calling myself Madam Zelda and wearing a big hat and carrying a crystal ball, and it's time for me to stop doing this.
Oh, Kim, we want to just real quickly make sure people know where you're located and where you do these readings. Do you want to tell us just quickly a little bit about the Healing Tree?
Oh, the Healing Tree is a great place, and I know that my mother led me there, too. I've found a second home. I've got a wonderful woman there that I call Mom, and love her very, very much. And the ladies that own the place, Claudette and Linda, are great. And it's a loving, nice place to be. And there's lots of healing that goes on there, the Reiki and the massage. Got great practitioners. Marcus and Kathy are just the best. And the Reiki that they do is very good for your soul. It really helps.
I agree. I'm a second-level practitioner in Reiki. And I have found that body work and that kind of work to help relieve past whatever energies.
Mm-hmm.
The energies that need to be released, this absolutely helps my spirituality grow.
Exactly.
And I actually become healthier physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually from that kind of work.
Because as soon as you can open up all the places, it's amazing that I think all of us know that we take all of our grief and all of our pain and all of our worries and we stack them up inside of our bodies, and that's what causes illness. And I have to give a ton of credit to people who are healers. I personally don't consider myself one, but I think they do a great job, and I know that they've healed me in a lot of different ways.
Well, I'll be teaching a holistic health class for Pierce College this fall.
Oh, that'd be great.
And that's the very kind of thing I say, you know, is where does this start? And it starts with our thinking and our emotions that need to be looked at and say, maybe it's not something I need to keep in my belief system anymore.
Right, exactly. And they do a lot of timeline regression there. And it's a great place for crystals and stones and everything you can think of. I walk through that store and think, what do I need today?
So you want to be sure and get yourself up to Healing Tree and see Kim personally if you didn't call in today like our caller did. Kim, do you have any reservations about being a medium?
The only thing that ever bothered me about it is I always felt when I said I was in law enforcement to be real proud of what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's some ways it's a respected career and profession. And in other ways, you know, you have people that hate you also. So I guess it's real similar.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing I ever had reservations about is I didn't want anybody to think I was a nut.
Oh.
So that was my biggest reservation. Other than that, I guess not being able to help as many people as I'd like to.
Well, how do you tell if somebody's, I won't say nut, but not authentic or real?
Boy, I don't want to mention any names, but, you know, there's a TV show and a 1-800 number and, yeah, there we go.
I caught you.
Yeah. I guess if they wear a Madam Zelda hat, I would be a little cautious.
That's good advice. Well, we want Kim to know how much we've appreciated having her here today. It has been really fun. We're glad we had our caller, and you too can be a caller. You too can sponsor this show with your business or services and call me at 253-845-4907. You can contribute to this show to keep it on the air or purchase that wonderful book, Wilderness Spirituality by Reverend Rodney Romney. There, I'm saying it better gradually. Now, by the time I can say it on the air, hopefully the books will be gone, and we will have that for us and to help us out with the show. Remember to call me for your counseling classes, readings, things that I can help you with, such as past life regression and therapy in that regard. I call also do angels and your portraits of your guardian angels. So be sure and stay tuned next Wednesday when we'll be returning with Solutions for Maryland. And don't go away. We enjoy this day, and be sure to stay tuned to your radio next week, and have a wonderful day in the sun. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Maryland Solutions. Listen again next week for another informative show with guests from coast to coast. For a copy of today's program or a copy of her new book, Roses Have Thorns, and videotapes on empowerment and spiritual tools for healing domestic violence, write to KLAY in care of Maryland Solutions, 10025 Lakewood Drive Southwest, Tacoma, Washington, 98499. Or visit her website at Maryland@angelicasgifts.com.
Many people are looking for a new direction and a lift in spirit. Hello, I'm Reverend Marilyn, a counselor, teacher for over 30 years, and a spiritual advisor for addictions, codependency, domestic violence, past lives, and holistic healing. Join me every Wednesday at noon for Marilyn Solutions, a program sure to be of interest to everyone. We will talk with guests from coast to coast, offering a wide range of talents and information. That's Marilyn Solutions, Wednesdays at noon on your news and information station, KLAY 1180.